Welcome to this podcast about political disillusionment. And if that resonates with you, well, welcome to the club. It does with all of us now. Political disillusionment is the result of burnout, right? We're all burned out. There was so much energy expended over the last 10 years hoping to save America, hoping to, you know, politically overthrow the cabal through elections, hoping to have the traitors arrested, the election riggers arrested, the COVID pandemic pushers arrested, et cetera, et cetera, on and on. And almost none of those things have happened. There have been some small incremental improvements, but you know, the big things that Trump ran on, or even the big things that Biden promised, of course they're never achieved. We're really living in the last days of the American empire. And as of right now, what I'm seeing online is that people everywhere are absolutely fed up and sick of politics. They're sick of hearing about Trump. They're sick of the wars. They're sick of the inflation. They're sick of paying more for gas and food and health insurance and rent. People are sick and fed up. And there's more and more talk of a third political party. But as I have pointed out online, I saw others as well, this problem is not going to be solved by a third political party. This is a structural problem. As long as money drives campaigning and drives candidates when they win, they only answer to the deep-pocketed money people. They never answer to the American people. So unless there's real significant campaign finance reform, which is, of course, impossible, because the very people required to vote on that are the ones who benefit from the current system. So without that kind of radical reform, money will always have more power than the people in this current system. And this current system is imploding. So here's where I see this going. This is just my assessment, but I am tuned in. I'm watching what's happening. Trump is making himself absolutely toxic as a brand. And the GOP, you will start to see this soon. The GOP will start moving away from Trump as quickly as they can. I don't know if that's going to happen before the midterms or after the midterms. I mean, for sure after the midterms, but maybe before. It just kind of depends on how badly things go. Trump keeping us in this war with Iran is a horrible mistake, horrible miscalculation on Trump's part, and you know, the Pentagon and Hegseth and others, and Marco Rubio, horrible miscalculation. This war is going to lead to global famine in 2027, but even long before then, much higher gas prices and food prices and supply chains breaking down for American consumers. This is going to get worse after the midterms, even if there's a settlement with Iran tomorrow. The long-term impacts of the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, that the number of weeks that have already been closed, this will have long-term ramifications that will just devastate the American brand globally, but also the Trump brand politically. So mark my words, Trump will be seen as toxic to the GOP. Almost certainly the Democrats are going to win big in the midterms, and probably the Senate now as well, but almost certainly the House. And when they take over the House come next January, they will launch massive investigations into Trump himself, but his family members. And this time the investigations won't be all completely rigged like they were, you know, in Trump's first term. This time they actually have a lot more to go on, like all these fishy crypto deals and all this insider trading and, you know, people placing big bets on the oil markets right before Trump makes some announcement and somebody taking home, you know, $500 million in profit and so on. They have all the signs of insider trading. And that's going to give the Democrats a whole lot, traction, a lot of traction to work with when it comes to their investigations. And that's when the real political battle is going to heat up, is those last 2 years of Trump's term here, shaping up to the 2028 election, because that is, if we make it to 2028, and I'm not convinced that we are, or that we will, if we make it to 2028, then on the current projection, there's a strong chance that the Democrats will win, almost no matter who they run, if the GOP stays tied to Trump. Because again, I see the Trump brand being so incredibly toxic that it will bring down the entire GOP. So then the question is going to become, quite clearly, you'll see this in 2027. Will the GOP decide to convince Trump to step down? You know, resign or even remove him via the 25th Amendment or something else in order to give the GOP a fighting chance in the 2028 election? That decision won't be made until after the midterms later this year, of course. But if the midterms are atrocious, then Trump's days are probably numbered. And there will be major efforts inside the GOP to boot Trump out of the party as quickly as possible and then try to rebuild the reputation of the GOP. And given how much Trump will be under investigation by the Democrats in 2027 and 2028, this might be the only path of political survival for the GOP, actually, is to convince Trump to resign or force him out, and then probably have J.D. Vance step in there. And J.D. Vance, as president, you know, I know that most people would accuse him of being a puppet of Peter Thiel and Palantir and so on. Maybe that's correct. I don't know. But J.D. Vance doesn't have all the emotional baggage into the war with Iran that Trump currently has. And I think that Vance might be able to extricate us from that war, whereas Trump is unable to. And Trump's obedience to Netanyahu will probably prove his downfall, in my opinion. And Vance may be able to maneuver in a more flexible way, let's say. But I'm not some big Vance worshiper. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that a fresh face, you know, a different perspective, a different person there could maybe end that conflict permanently if it's not already over by that time. And then that could put the GOP back on track to at least be competitive in 2028. But there's another problem in all of this. You and I both know that it's really mostly a uniparty type of system, right? No matter who gets elected, you still get the same thing in many ways. You still get centralization of power. You get a government that's intruding on your rights, your constitutional rights. You get more surveillance, right? You get more weapons, more wars. You get more corruption, no matter who's elected, it seems. And so one of the problems that Trump is creating for all of us, especially if the Democrats take power in, let's say, 2029, is that Trump is really pushing the edge of executive power. For example, essentially ignoring Congress with this war on Iran, or twisting the definition of the 60 days of the War Powers Act and saying, well, we can start a new war every 60 days and we never need congressional approval, things like that. Trump has also crossed some red lines in terms of, for example, going into business with Big Pharma, where Trump has Trump RX now, which, I mean, it's his name, he's the president, and it's his name in business with Pfizer, and I think Eli Lilly and other companies, to sell pharmaceuticals to the American people with some kind of licensing arrangement that financially benefits, you know, maybe a Trump family member or whoever. I don't know who's on the receiving end of that, but it's Trump's name. You can bet that somebody associated with Trump is benefiting from that arrangement. And that is just obviously corruption. That's just so wrong. The president of the United States should not be in business with the companies that his government is, you know, supposed to regulate or enforce laws against, or even consider the fact that, you know, Trump is supposed to be serving the American people, not the powerful corporations that put out products that harm so many people. So the fact that Trump is in so many different businesses, including all kinds of sketchy crypto deals that, to my knowledge, all of them have basically collapsed in value. But those deals, the pharma deals, there's data center deals, there's this Board of Peace where Trump apparently arranged to have the U.S. government pay $1 billion under his control to the Board of Peace, which is some international organization that he runs. Like, wait a second. This is really all starting to look incredibly fishy and incredibly corrupt. And if Joe Biden were doing these things, Republicans would have been, you know, jumping all over Joe Biden. Even think about what Biden did with Hunter Biden and the Burisma company out of Ukraine, and how Hunter Biden was given, I think it was, what was it, like $50,000 a month or something to sit on the board. And at the time, we all thought, that's crazy, that's so much money. That's nothing compared to what Trump's family is raking in by the billions with all of these other business deals and these co-ventures, and some of his family members investing in like drone companies or whatever companies are getting these contracts from the government and from the Pentagon. It's like, just wait a second. There are laws against this kind of double dealing. You know, you shouldn't be in the businesses that your government regulates, or where your Pentagon decides who gets the contracts, and then the contracts happen to go to companies that have your family members as investors and things like that. That it doesn't pass the sniff test, even if some elements of it are technically legal because they've done the right paperwork or what have you. Among the American people, it doesn't pass the sniff test. It looks to the American people like the Trump administration is just making himself and his family members and his friends and his associates rich, while the American people are becoming increasingly impoverished with higher gas prices, higher food prices, etc. And then to be lectured and to be told, no, gas prices are going down and food prices are going down, when every American can see that's not true, it's just it's an insult to the American people, and it makes people feel like they're being pandered to by the president. And that's going to politically be very harmful to the GOP in the midterms, is my prediction. Now, could Trump still turn this around? Yes, absolutely he could, and maybe with pressure from the GOP. Number one, you'd have to end the war with Iran, which could be done in a day if you just leave. Just let Iran control the strait, let them charge a toll, just sail away, you know, bring our troops back home, repair the Navy vessels that took hits and everything, and, you know, let the crew members have some shore leave, etc. Just get out of there, and the oil would start to flow again. But Trump can't do that because his ego is invested in the war, and he wants to be the winner, which in his mind and in his books means that the other guy has to be the total loser. So with that philosophy, this war is going to drag on for a long time. But there are other things that the DOJ could do right now to achieve huge victories for so-called MAGA, and could actually bring some people back to the pro-MAGA camp, because almost everybody has left the MAGA camp. The only people remaining in MAGA seem to be those on the payroll, those who are paid, you know, to post things or to be propagandists or, you know, to be provocateurs or whatever. They're all on the payroll of the feds or, you know, the elements of the government, whatever. But the DOJ, by prosecuting some of the real criminals, such as those who rigged the election in 2020, the DOJ could bring a lot of people back to the pro-MAGA side. You know, frankly, the MAGA people out there in America are just waiting for Trump to do the right thing. And I think a lot of them would be more than happy to jump back in and be pro-MAGA again. But you've got people like Kash Patel at the FBI that, regardless of what he thinks he's doing, the public perception is that he's doing nothing, or, you know, next to nothing, nothing really useful. Yeah, they arrest some no-name people for small things here and there, but where are the big arrests? You know, what about the Hunter Biden laptop, huh? What about Hillary Clinton deleting all those classified emails or, you know, some of these other things? And having this, you know, charging James Comey for tweeting out that meme photo of seashells on the seashore, that's not going to result in a prosecution. It's a joke, you know? It's not even really credible. So James Comey is going to, he's going to skate on that. Probably the judge will just throw it out. there's not even going to be a prosecution. So that doesn't really count. I'm talking about real prosecutions of the real traitors. Like, who was behind the Russia dossier that they used to try to discredit Trump? Who was behind the leaks of Trump's IRS tax returns? Huh? Or maybe one of those guys has been prosecuted. But who was behind the rigged elections? The ballot stuffing? You know, the coordinated mule carriers of all the ballots, etc. I mean, that was coordinated. That was funded. And some of the funding came from big tech companies like Meta. And then Trump invites Zuckerberg over to the White House and goes into business, or, you know, invites all the big tech people, Bill Gates and Zuckerberg and Pinchai or whoever from Google and all these other people, and invites them all over. It's like, we're going to be best friends now. Trump, those are the people who rigged the election against you. Don't you know? Those are the people. So this is what's infuriating to a lot of Americans, even though many of those Americans are looking for an excuse to jump back in with Trump. But he's not giving them even the slightest justification to do that. And one of the reasons so many people are trying to find a reason to support Trump, at least this is my view, is because they know how bad it's going to be if the Democrats seize power. Because the Democrats, you know, we all lived under Democrat rule, under Obama and then under Biden and under Clinton back in the 1990s, who really wasn't nearly that bad compared to how things have gotten worse since then. But under Democrat rule, you know how it goes. There's going to be censorship. There's going to be high taxes. There's going to be probably an effort to outlaw the Second Amendment. They're probably going to have, like, registration to use the internet or to participate, to use AI or to use any kind of social media. You'll have to have your government ID, you know, and your iris scan or whatever. They're probably going to have a UBI, capital controls. They might outlaw gold or something. You know, the Democrats, they do crazy things too. They're just as corrupt, just as crazy, but in a different way. They'll try to shove transgenderism down your throat, you know. All the crosswalks will be painted with rainbows and that kind of thing. But then again, then Trump is bombing civilians and murdering people overseas, which is far worse than, you know, painting crosswalks with rainbows. But my point is that the Democrats will take away your rights in an accelerated fashion when they get back into power. And they will point to Trump as the reason that they have to do that. They will point to Trump and they will say, look at what happened. This war criminal, you know, they'll say, this war criminal got into power because we didn't crack down on free speech enough. And they'll point to Alex Jones, or they'll point to me or others in the independent media. They'll say, see, we have to crack down on their voices. Otherwise, we might get another Trump one day, and, you know, we were lucky to escape World War III or whatever. You can imagine the kind of stories that they will dream up and push out there, stories that will actually get a lot of traction, very likely, with the voter base. So it wouldn't be difficult to see the American people supporting restrictions on speech or restrictions on the Second Amendment, or, God forbid, if the deep state pulls off another J6 kind of false flag event while Democrats are in power, then they could use that to go after, you know, alternative media. You know they want to. They want to seize all the domain names and shut down all the websites. And sadly, Trump's abuse of executive power today is actually handing Democrats justifications in their minds that they will use to inflict these assaults on our civil rights when the Democrats get back into power. Because Trump doesn't respect any rule of law. That's clear. He doesn't respect any constitutional limits on power. Look at what he did with the tariffs, for example. It's blatantly illegal. He just said, I don't care. I'm just going to slap tariffs on everybody and you know, you can sue me. Well, he was sued, and the Supreme Court ruled against him. And the very next day he said, I don't care. We're just going to have tariffs anyway. We're going to just do other things and slap 15% tariffs on everybody under this other law. And it's just time and time again, Trump demonstrates this rampant abuse of power that the Democrats will clearly seize upon when they get back into power. And they will use that to justify their own authoritarianism. So in essence, Trump is feeding the tyranny or the future tyranny of the Democrats in what he is doing right now. And that's why I believe that the most important thing that we can all do right now is we need to demand that Trump obey the rule of law here. International law, war laws. We have Congress is supposed to declare war, not just the president, but also domestic law and laws that prohibit corruption of officials, etc. If Trump doesn't follow the law, he's handing the Democrats every justification they need to just go hog wild against all conservatives, all GOP, all independent media, whenever they get back into power. So that's my concern. I'm way more concerned about what the Democrats are going to do with this precedent than I am even about Trump right now. Although, well, I'm also very concerned about Trump pushing us into World War III. But I'm just as concerned, let's say, about Democrats using Trump's new powers, let's say, to really attack the American people and attack our civil liberties. So things are going to get tough here politically for some time to come. And if anything, you and I need to demand that all public servants, as they are called, need to abide by the rule of law. We need to demand the decentralization of power out of the hands of big government and back to the states, back to local governments, and back to we the people. That's the only answer that's really going to make sense in all of this, because the more power that these government entities grab and coalesce into their own hands, the less free we all are. And that's just a simple truth of history. So join me in calling for Trump to follow the law. And if he can't follow the law, then join me in demanding that the GOP ask him to step down. Otherwise, things are going to get far worse from here forward. In my opinion, that's my analysis. Offered under the First Amendment. The First Amendment that they will try to ban. But thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here. Naturalnews.com is my website. And also, of course, brightvideos.com. And thank you for listening. Take care. Right now, more than ever, it's critical to eliminate counterparty risk. That's my belief. And don't take this as financial advice, because I'm not your financial advisor. But when you want physical gold and silver in your hands, or vaulted, professionally vaulted, insured, high security vault, etc., that eliminates that counterparty risk, which I think is an extreme risk right now. I think banks are going to fail, and we're going to have bank bail-ins. The currency is failing every day, kind of little by little, because of all the money printing and the valuation erosion that's accelerating. Also, because of what's happening in the Middle East, more and more countries are agreeing to sell oil in currencies other than the dollar. And the only way that treasury yields are kept low is by the Fed printing money and buying our own debt, because there aren't enough international buyers to buy our debt anymore. So our country is like a snake eating its own tail financially. It's buying its own debt, and this is going to end badly. And when it does, in my opinion, those who hold dollars, even in bank accounts or in the stock market or whatever, they're going to be devastated by the losses. Gold and silver are the best way, in my opinion, to preserve your assets and make it through the coming storm. And the best place to get gold and silver is a company I've been working with, the original founders of the group, for 6 or 7 years now. Today it's called Battalion Metals, and you can reach them at metalswithmike.com. And the reason it's called Battalion Metals now is because they did a joint venture with Tucker Carlson. So Tucker Carlson is the co-founder of Battalion Metals. It's the same group I've worked with for years. And let me tell you about these people. They are pro-freedom, pro-liberty, pro-Ron Paul type of people. They respect your privacy. They understand the importance of your security, your privacy, and the importance of giving you gold and silver at the best possible competitive prices. So there's no bait and switch. There's no rigging, there's no weird coins like, here, have this 1.5 ounce thing that nobody knows what it is. They don't play games, otherwise I wouldn't promote them. This is the same company, metalswithmike.com, Battalion Metals. This is the same group that I recommend to my family, to my friends, and that I use myself. And I stack gold and silver every month, just a certain amount every month, and I have it vaulted with their vaults because I know I can trust them because they're professionals. They're high integrity people. They're not fly by night. They are the kind of people that you can trust. Again, otherwise I wouldn't even be associated with them. So when you want to get gold and silver in your hands and eliminate that counterparty risk, this is the way to do it. Just go to metalswithmike.com. You can see the prices right there online in real time at Battalion Metals, or you can schedule a call with them. Just use this button right here, schedule a call. And they are trustworthy, high integrity, knowledgeable people who can help you devise a strategy that's suitable for you. Just remember, I'm not your financial advisor. I can't give you an investment strategy personalized for you. You need to do that yourself with your own advisors. You can talk with Battalion Metals and they can help give you a lot of information and some planning as well. But make the best decision for you. And you're going to make it through this. You'll make it through the storm, even as other people lose the value of their dollars or their other investments. Gold and silver will make it through. And right now, in my opinion, gold and silver are still at an incredible buying opportunity in terms of price compared to where they're going to be represented in dollars in the near future. That's my opinion. Do your own research. Do what's best for you. And check it all out at metalswithmike.com. So thanks for watching. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. God bless you all. Take care.